Hello, friends. Welcome to Time in the Studio. This is a podcast, mostly interviews with herbalists, artists, creatives, and plant people, talking about connection, growth, and creativity. And I'm your host, Sarah Marie Miller, owner of A to Zia Arts, LLC. And I'm an artist and an herbalist living in Boulder, Colorado. And I'm just so excited for this episode. I am chatting with Jessica Trusty, and I've decided to split this episode into two parts. So one will be released today on Sunday, and then another will be released in a couple days. And we just had a really amazing conversation. It lasted almost 2 hours, and there just wasn't a lot that I wanted to cut out of it, and I didn't want to have a super long episode. And I also thought it was interesting, while recording this episode, it's about her PAWS project, which she worked on for over 8 years, and she talks about that through the episode and what that stands for and just kind of the idea of slowing down a little bit. And so I thought it would be interesting to have a pause between two parts of the episode. So I hope you will enjoy this format. And yeah, feel free to let me know what you think. There's an Instagram for this podcast. Time in the Studio is the handle. And you can also find me at Sarah Marie Studio or at A to Zia Arts. You can also connect with Jessica Trusty. She is going to be having a show at Seidel City in Boulder. You can also check out her website at Trusty Owl Studios. Thank you so much again for all of your love and support, messages, and donations. I really appreciate all that you do and all that you are, and it's just such an honor to be able to keep doing this every week and people keep listening, and more people actually from all over the world. So about 90% of our listeners are in the US, but I believe over 19 countries now listening. So really amazing that it just keeps expanding. So yeah, thank you for all that you do to make this happen. And without further ado, I bring you Jessica Trusty. Tell me a little bit.
I have been working on it for the last 8 years, basically since Leo was born.
Wow.
Like transforming my life and changing it. And so it was ongoing work in progress for 8 years that was forming into a community event. And it's finally happening in December. And so that's kind of like, it's not really an art show. It's more of like a whole series of, there will be three of them. Mm-hmm. So it's called the PAWS series, PAUSE.
Mm.
And PAWS is an acronym for this lifestyle change that I made over the 8 years that all have something to do with this philosophy or methodology that I've created.
Oh my God.
Of art and herbs and basically slowing. It's like my own version of the slow movement.
I am so excited to have Jessica Trusty on the show today. She is an incredible herbalist and artist and has done a lot of work starting this new project that I can't wait to hear about, the PAWS project. She's also worked a lot with flower essences and just the power of the plants and connecting to source through her paintings. So, Jessica, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, I was just really inspired by your work and just, yeah, your approach is just really inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
So I'd love to dive in a little bit. I saw on your website there's something about pause with a period between each letter. Do you want to dive in there and start talking about that? Or do you want to talk about kind of your background, like the foundation beneath that first?
Well, they're connected. So I think if I talk about one, the other will eventually pop through equally.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, the pause series started as a question, kind of a, I kept asking myself after my son was born and getting the feeling like it was just too much. Like, there were too many things in my modern life that I didn't, that weren't serving me or him, in a sense that our culture has set up to be things I need.
Right.
And I was kind of under that illusion without realizing it until I had him. And before I had him, I was pretty free in terms of would follow where my heart led me and did a lot of wandering, taking classes in college, but not ever really investing in one thing because I just learned what I wanted to learn.
Right.
What was interesting to me, what I wanted to be, wasn't in a curriculum that I could find or see in the square of college. And mine was definitely way more organic shaped than that. And by having my son, I realized that wasn't going to work with our culture's, I guess, illusion is what I was starting to see through. It's like this way I was supposed to be became very magnified all of a sudden. It's very much like right or wrong, good or bad. And as a mother, you fear that. Like, oh, if I do this, then I'm not a good mother. So following the way I'd always followed was just really surfacing as a question to myself. And it was a possibility that I didn't feel in the past when it was just me, where I was doing right or wrong. I didn't really care as much about what people thought, how I was leading my life, or as an artist, I felt like I was doing my career justice by learning in the fashions I learned and moving and living in a lot of different places and environments and growing as a person in that way. And I think that that is embraced more among, you know, the artist community sees that as, well, yeah, that's kind of what you do. You learn about yourself and you learn about environment and travels, and that's always inspiring and it makes sense. But when you're a mother, there's more of like this foundational that comes through in our culture that I was really questioning. And it had a lot to do with, you know, the rights and wrongs and good and bad. And I had never lived in those very, I guess, kind of what feels to me that's just, it's polarized. It's just this, like, opposite and extreme version of something that I kept sensing through really subtle ways of how people talk or ask me questions or what I was supposed to be doing and what had I done yet or not done. And it was just very interesting to feel like I was in such a box that I hadn't ever lived in my upbringing or at any time. And so I started asking a lot of questions to myself and wondering what was mine and what was others. And through that, I developed something called the Pause series. And it's basically a methodology where I go through each letter, P-A-U-S-E, to remind myself of what throughout the years became mine through my experience with my son. And, you know, through part of that, I got divorced. I built, you know, the studio in the mountains. I have a lot of belief systems that were possibly my grandmother's and my mother's that didn't serve and held on to a lot that did. But I got to decide, you know, what was what there. And in the acronym of the PAUSE, it's just the reminder, the consistency of how my life has developed since then by more intentional about how I wanted to live from that day forward with as a mother.
Was it the day your son was born, or it was like around that time?
But I'm looking back at the day I was having this realization. I think he was about 6 months, somewhere in there. And I was home. His dad was traveling most of the time, and I was just, you know, a new mom and feeling very isolated and lonely and wondering why, when I had this beautiful, like, the best thing that has ever come into my life staring back at me, and I couldn't figure out what my part was yet, and if I was feeling isolated and lonely, how could that really be? That it just didn't seem to go along with the happiness of a new baby.
Right. Well, I think that doesn't get talked about enough. Like, I just did this postpartum training, and it was talking about how most women have, there's a grieving after you give birth to a child, because there is an old part of yourself that is, that needs to die in order for this new child to come into the world. You know, it's like parts of yourself are lost and new parts are found, and there is such a transition. And I feel like our culture doesn't support mamas enough. And so there is a loneliness to it oftentimes, you know, if there's not a community kind of around and a web holding you up and supporting you and really there for you in all the day-to-day things. Like, I can see how, yeah, it could become a little bit of a dark time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's exactly what I was going through in terms of really have community at the time, and my parents were living in Red Feather Lake, so I ended up coming, which I'm here now, so I'll say here a lot. I was coming up here most of the time as his father was traveling, and I just thought sanctuary in the land and in the rocks and in the water up here. And I started to feel community through nature because I wasn't feeling it through people at the time, and was too under-resourced to, like, go out and find new friends or fill in that space. And I didn't even know how to do that at the moment. It just, everything was kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
And the sanctuary became, we forget about a lot of the time, is we can use trees as family. We can use the land. The mountains are here as strong stability, as strong as you could ever find in a relationship. They don't go anywhere. They're there every time you go and visit and need them. They sit quietly and listen. I mean, what more do you really need? No.
Yeah.
I just, it was like the perfect healing process for me, and I started to see my studio space, and all of a sudden the land came up for sale right behind my parents' home that was the space I wanted so badly, and where I would spend some time sitting and reflecting. And it just, you know, synchronicity happens like that when you're connected, when you're willingly been to bigger picture than your own, than your own little ego world, you know, and that can be really easy to fall into in our strive for more, more, more stuff.
Yeah.
Or achievement, or, you know, all those things I wasn't interested in at being or becoming in order to be successful in our culture. I love that, actually, Sarah, because that's part of the pause series, so I think it's very interesting. Honestly, it's like allowing in all the parts of ourselves instead of trying to be so refined and, you know, seen as like these perfect packages. Like, I don't ever want to be trying for that. And weird sounds in our podcast, having these things. I mean, that is so symbolic to me. That's so just what this is all about. And what I love about the art process is those are always my favorite parts at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's always allowed in the process of art to have all those parts of yourself showing and available and tapped into. There's no ugly. It's just raw material, and it's the same as beauty.
Oh my God.
And so it's just material. So it's a sound. It's just like we've put on it a decision, and that's why a lot of people don't ever paint or draw, and it's so sad because they've decided that they can't or shouldn't or aren't good at it for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only place you can, there isn't such thing. Is no good, and that's where I was coming to heal the most through my journey as a mother, is like there is no good, there is no bad, there is no right or wrong. Divorce came through, and that did not, you know, put me bad or wrong or failure in any way. It just made me grow, and it was such a beautiful thing that came into my life, marriage and divorce, and the growth process. You know, the ugly didn't exist when I painted. It just was part of a bigger picture. Mm. And there was so much gratitude in that. That's it. And then that was all. There wasn't all the judgment. You know, in the process of art, if you start judging it, you'll probably never finish your painting because it won't be good. If you don't judge it, you don't ever look at it like that, just like the mountain would hold you. Your art will hold you. And it will just sit there quietly until you ask it questions and listen. And it'll tell you what to do. And it's just, the process is so beautifully healing for people. I just, I invite people to make something because of that healing process, not because of what's going to be in the end and what's going to be on your wall. What it might match or not match your couch fabric, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. Thank you for all of that. It's just like so refreshing to hear. It's funny. I did this singing workshop yesterday with this musician who I love, Diane Cluck. And for part of the, one of the assignments or one of the kind of exercises we did, is everyone went around and you said something you loved about your voice, and then you had to say something you didn't like about your voice. And then you had to sing, like, imagine the thing you don't like about your voice is it amplified like 100 times, and then you have to sing from that place. So it's like, you know, some people were like, I hate the insecure, you know, timid part of my voice. And then you had to sing from that place and like, you know, and it was so beautiful because everything that people sang in that round, like the vulnerable, this is the part of me that's fucked up and I'm going to amplify it, was so just heart-wrenchingly beautiful. Like, I was like, can we just have a song, like a choir of like off-key singers? Because this is so much better than like trying to sing in tune and perfect. Like, I love that imperfection. It was so good. It just reminds me of what you were just talking about, of like, you know, we can hold each other and be held by nature spirits in our imperfection, you know, like I think singing to the trees and being with nature is like such a fun way to, yeah, just allow yourself to be more vulnerable and more raw and more real. And it's hard because that's not always accepted in our culture.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it that is just running its own autopilot theme, you know. It's just there's this pace we're all trying to keep up with, and we don't question it enough in my mind. And that's what I started to do, is really question, well, why do I have to be successful in that way? And why do I have to, that doesn't feel right to me. That doesn't feel like success to me. It feels like if I go learn about plant medicine and I don't make any money from it, that's okay. And yeah. it doesn't go anywhere. Well, what are you going to do with that, Jessica, once you learn that? I got that question a lot. Well, mm-hmm. well, what do you, where are the jobs with that?
yeah.
I don't know. I never thought of that. That's my intention is to learn something that will serve myself, my family, and the greater good. You yeah. know, what's not earning money, mm-hmm. is that the only wealth that we can have in mm-hmm. our, as value? Like, because mm-hmm. I want to learn to be an elder and have to be, mm-hmm. you know, of use. I want to be used as I grow old, and what will I have to offer?
Yeah.
Well, retired from a job I didn't ever like anyway, I don't mm-hmm. know what I would have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
They're on our, and basically working at being an elder at age 42 because I just so badly want to make that important investment mm-hmm. that is seen in our culture as, oh, there's no money in this to grow in wisdom and have something to share with the youth. There may not be that in college. You can't take those courses. There's no schooling for becoming an elder that I know of in college. But yeah. think how badly we need that, though.
Oh, yes, it gives me chills. It's so good to learn to be an elder. That is, oh, Jessica, you're amazing.
Oh. Wow. Well, it's just what I want. It's yeah. what I want for my son. It's what I wanted for myself at that time as a scared, isolated new mom. Mm-hmm. I wanted grandmothers around me. I wanted mm-hmm. aunties and sisters and, mm-hmm. you know, men that were feel safe and secure in them bringing in the food, or tribes did, to where it was such a great balance, and how they knew that the mother needed that support in order for the whole of the community to balance and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish we could see more of how it all works in our system right now and how it's not.
Sorry.
Yeah.
There it goes
again.
It's
not working, and that sound agrees, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like the foghorn. Like, yeah, our system is not working. And I think it's hard for people to, like, there just is not community support around each other. Like, something that I've heard is in the birth process and in the beginning of life process, like, when a child is born, there are these multiple layers kind of holding them there, you know, and it's like around each person should have at least two layers of support around them. You know, it's kind of like you have a friend, like the placenta is a friend to the child, and then you have the amniotic sac that kind of like holds them together. And so in the community around birth, like it said, like each person there should have, like, you know, someone they can connect to and someone that can hold them. And that is very rare that ever happens. You know, it's like most people are there by themselves, or there's maybe one person they can reach out to, but there aren't like these layers of support around each person, around the mother and the father and the grandmothers and the doulas and the midwives and whoever happens to be there. You know, it's like, people aren't supporting each other because they're not in their purpose. Like, they're grasping after, like, money. But it's like, okay, what does that do at the end of the day? Like, not enough.
I think is a really good example, too, of just, I think that we don't know how to some degree either.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself am learning how to do that. And what I keep finding is we're in a world of such overstimulation that we're just constantly, you know, getting our bit of the hypothalamus and pituitary and the, you know, adrenals, the HPA axis is just running and sending the danger signal, or mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter if it's perceived or real, you know, it's still reducing the blood flow to the you know, the prefrontal cortex area, and it's like that's where we're most of us are operating from to some degree, just living in the world we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah. I know that's true for myself, and mm-hmm. is acknowledging that, and the pause is in acknowledging that in others. When I thought, well, you know, they can't help me. They're struggling and under resourced in their own life. You know, I have moms mm-hmm. and new moms as friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't rely on each other and then say perhaps the father's working full time and perhaps mm-hmm. the grandparents don't even live in the same, you know, we're not even mm-hmm. in the same community. Well, I decided, well, I'm going to go to my parents and mm-hmm. live, be with them as much as possible. And through doing that, they learned how to be grandparents, how to be supportive with, you know, in a culture where we've just totally disengaged to some degree.
Yeah.
Don't really know how. It's like, how do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
And through asking all of these questions as often as I could, I kept finding that a lot of it had to do with this imbalance of overstimulation of the brain, of mm-hmm. the system, of the pathways that we've so deeply and it's just trained in us. And that a lot of it was rewiring my brain over the last 8 years of literally feeling like through the art process, each time I turned off my phone and mm-hmm. turned off stimulation, turned off any noise to mm-hmm. interrupt, because you can be interrupted any time of the day with a ding mm-hmm. or a, you know, on your phone. It was doing it throughout our, yeah. our conversation.
yeah.
We've, you know, have these kind of lack of boundaries, I think, around what we're letting in to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting really good at boundaries.
Mm.
With painting being important.
Yeah.
Painting being not something that you're going to make $1 million from, so bottom of your list, because how are you going to make money from that?
Mm-hmm.
From that little thing you love doing, from that walk you love taking, mm-hmm. or that vase that you made, you know, with your hands mm-hmm. on the wheel. And mm. that sweater you knitted that took several months
mm-hmm.
because it's so kit and amazing. But mm-hmm. how are you going to sell that? Because, you know, only you like it, the colors, or only, you know, that's not really in style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like questioning all those going to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to make something from that? Where's it going to go at the end? Where's all that time spent?
Mm-hmm.
And I started asking, when is that's more important than this, if there is one, because I was finding there wasn't,
mm-hmm.
going to serve me more than doing this thing?
Mm.
Yeah. I wasn't finding the answer for that. I wasn't finding, go back to school and get a real job that makes you more money.
Yeah.
That your son Leo all day, and then that will make you a good mom because you will be more responsible in earning and being successful
mm-hmm.
in the way that we view success.
I love that reconsidering and that sacred pause. Like, I don't know if you've read the book Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach, but she talks a lot about the sacred pause and just giving a moment in any situation to just stop and, yeah, tune out kind of what is not important and tune into what is important and really kind of listen, take a moment to listen to your soul and what your soul needs.
Right. Have the space, you know, and I think that's, I found myself as a mother is prioritizing the space to pause, mm-hmm. to reflect, to ask questions, to P is play, the A is asking quality questions, the U is uniting in community and with our farms and our food and our what we're eating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The S is, okay, now I'm
that's okay. That's okay. You can pause. You can just pause.
Sustaining, and the E is empathy. But as I take myself through all of that, one, I need to work on sitting here daily because I'm stuck on the S going simplify, sustain. And I was so busy yesterday and kept going, how can I simplify? What can I do? And again, today, it's right back here with me. Mm-hmm. And I find myself getting stuck on a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's the S. Because anytime I'm moving, I ask myself, do I really need this? Or I find myself needing to buy something that I need for the, you know, like when you move in and you have all this and you're really taking, you're really evaluating your stuff. And how much of it has been told to me that I need it, and how much of it do I really need, and can I let go of being in the norm if I don't have these things? And I think underneath a lot of the time I find this ongoing kind of competition with other that you don't really know you're in.
Yeah.
You stop and ask some of these questions of like, well, yeah, they have all of those things, but do I really need that? Is that really something I value? And do I want to spend the time earning in order to have those things? And will that feel better to me than what I already have?
Yeah, sometimes I just want to put holly and pine in, like, the water. Like, instead of fluoride in the water, can we just add holly and pine flower essence? Like, help people, like, not feel guilty and, like, connect into their heart and to not be so competitive with each other and just, to tune into that heart space and to feel like we're all enough. We're enough, and doing, living life according to your purpose is perfect and so much better than trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Right. It is. It's just like, you know, I have the things I love of jewelry and fashion and clothing and the, you know, things I find that feel, see, I have a process of like, there's meaning there. There's something I need to wear, like with that stone or that ring, or you know, and like for me, I justify where go as inspiration for my life or my body of decorating myself.
Yeah,
that's something that I value, and it's not something I'm gonna go in, you know, or women or the latest trend or the, you know, I wish we could take that out of the equation so that more people would be more confident in showing and expressing their own version of themselves, you know, instead of like, this is what's in style right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we all miss out on what other people, on like, well, differences in each other and women and shape and color and size and, you know, the hair and the clothes, the makeup, everything. And I am so inspired by women who show themselves on the outside, like their inner core. I get so inspired by that.
I love that. It's so cool. And yeah, you can feel it. I feel like, you know, there's definitely just like people I see and they just feel like in alignment with themselves, and they're not swayed by what the rest of the world is doing or wants them to do. Like, it just feels like there's just a truth and a playfulness to listen to themselves.
Yeah, and whatever that might look like, mm-hmm. you know, and I think when we give ourselves permission to just be vulnerable to the presence of our own, you know, and that's where I like to step aside and painting, like, it's none of my business, really. It's mm-hmm. just, this isn't necessarily my painting. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I'm doing this work, but it's a shared collection of mm-hmm. consciousness, because whatever's coming through me isn't mine.
Mm.
I might hang this up on a wall at the end of it and mm-hmm. have a show, but it's not necessarily mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I like to give a lot of, on my website, I have a, share some of the inspirations I've had. Sometimes it's through fashion, a lot of the time it's through musicians mm-hmm. and speakers or activists or, you know, Native Americans that have these amazing some philosophies and quotes to share that have, for me, through time, stood the test of time throughout my life
mm-hmm.
and relevant and stayed relevant. And I think all of that seeps into the artwork, and all of that seeps into your picture of that we're in this together, or the you in my pause series, the mm-hmm. unity,
mm-hmm.
and how often that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to take ownership, you know, even through something as a painting, mm-hmm. that it's like, well, of course that's your painting, you painted it.
Yeah.
I don't actually feel that that's true. I feel like I had a lot of help and that I stepped aside, and that there's a lot more going on than making a piece of art that's mine
mm-hmm.
or that I can sell to you than it's yours.
Yeah, I see that so deeply in your work. Like, whenever I look at your paintings, like, they do feel like almost like channeled through a deeper, older source. Like, they just feel like they come from spirit. I'm curious, like, what your process is like. Like, how do you get yourself into that space? Because I feel like I get that sometimes, but it's not a guarantee, you know? Like, there's things that I make where I'm like, okay, this is not just me doing this work.
Yeah, I definitely have that feeling often. And mm-hmm. I think, because when I was a young girl, I had an eating disorder, or that's the label we've put on it. It mm-hmm. was the most magnificent experience of my life, because it gave me, I mean, what we look at as a disorder is, there's such order.
Mm.
It should be called an, you know, eating experience or order to that little girl's life that, mm. You know, the most magnificent medicine I'm still working with
mm.
25 years later.
I'm so curious to hear more about that.
Well, when I was younger, I was a gymnast, and, mm-hmm. You know, your body weight, your body in general is we would weigh in mm-hmm. every morning at practice and then again after. You know, mm-hmm. I think we would do two practices for a while there mm-hmm. at a certain age I was. And the intensity level I was at was lessons, and my body starting to change somewhat, yet I had to still be this tiny thing flying around. Mm-hmm. But as I'm growing and maturing as a female, and mm-hmm. it just wasn't uncommon among the girls, and they basically taught me, you know, how to eat and throw it back, and mm-hmm. this, it just wasn't what I knew I was like, I didn't know I was doing that, that mm-hmm. it was coming from me. It was, like, part of what I guess I thought I was learning among the community. You know, I wasn't in my own person enough at the time to ask. And then things started coming through when I was about 19 and asking me to tap in and listen to that, like, really starting to find individuality through, again, asking the quality questions, then mm-hmm. the painting will do that for you. If you don't understand your own painting, mm-hmm. you're going to ask, like, when people go, well, what's that about? Or mm-hmm. And I would say, I don't know. And that was never, like, a good enough answer for anyone, because you just painted that. Of course you know what it's about.
Mm.
So I started reading about what the symbols were, and it all led me to shamanic traditions, and I started studying shamanism, and then I started healing. I started using my art as medicine. To make a long story short, I never went to get real help, I guess you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful for that, because that is now basically more my message than ever, is mm-hmm. the healing is within, and we're not utilizing our own knowledge of our own selves enough. Mm-hmm. We're going to a therapist and an herbalist and, you know, the doctor. And I agree with a lot of those things to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how great the healer you go to is, it's still going to be within you to yes. find your own medicine.
Definitely.
And if you go to a good healer, I hope that steer you towards them not having the answer and you looking for it within yourself and supporting you to do that. And that's what I think a lot of herbalists do.
Mm-hmm.
And herbs themselves. You know, the unseen medicine that is felt, I think, like a felt sense of medicine, and then there's something you actually ingest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need the felt sense of medicine before it can actually work. And mm-hmm. that is my experience, and that may not be everyone's.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's why I am so drawn to flower essences, because it's like, it's just all about the felt sense. And there's nothing else. It's just... yeah, pure vibration and a new energy and way of just tuning into yourself in a deeper way.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan, as you know. And again, it's where it feels like, not sure if it's the chicken or the egg with that. You know, what mm-hmm. comes first, and you never really need to know. You just know it works.
Yeah.
And you're working on, you know, it's just you and whatever this magical sort of mysterious lent to you is coming through. And the question of, is this real, you know,
mm-hmm.
that comes up a lot with natural, really healing from the inside out, because mm-hmm. we still want to have a scientific answer.
Mm-hmm.
And myself love science, and I love reading about those neurological scientific answers
of
the brain and the limbic system and everything. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just still, at the end of the day, if I go lean up against a rock, there's things that happen that I can't imagine science being able to prove. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. And, you know, I try to paint from that space.
Mm. That's so cool. Yeah, I feel like, why do we have to destroy the mystery? Like, why can't we just, like, roll around and revel in the mystery of how cool it is to connect with nature? Like, it's just so funny that we're, like, trying to do these studies of, like, well, how does nature really affect you? It's like, oh my, who, it does. Like, what? Like, let's take this person apart and see how nature's affecting them. Like, what? Or just, like, enjoy it.
Right.
So funny.
I mean, I definitely feel like I need a lot of help most of the days. And, like, there's this overlying kind of, when I look through Facebook, and no offense to anybody on these social medias putting out the best of themselves, it's just, for me, I'm challenged by that. I'm really challenged by that, because I, when I have engaged, I find myself doing that, wanting to put out, like, I don't put out anything that I'm not proud of, you know, and why are we not proud of some of these other aspects of ourselves and the truth of the whole being, or, like, you know, waking up in the morning and taking a picture of yourself with whatever, I don't know, selfie of, like, the truer version that I look like more often than the, if I were to post a picture of myself, it would probably be one where I feel like I look a certain way, like, look good, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And so I love that about plant medicine, because it's this way of, you know, there's these plants that look so beautiful and they're deadly, they're poison. And then there's these plants that, you know, like the thistles, or like milk thistle or something, where so healing and soothing, and yet, and I just guess the thing I kind of challenge myself to do more is bring out more of my thistles and try to be this beautiful plant that kind of can, doesn't necessarily make you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? It's just giving, like, more, more exciting experiences with the parts of yourself that feel thistle-y or that feel less, you want to show out there on in the social media world, or asking, you know, myself to bring more of that to the table, instead of get, even in this interview, I'm finding myself want to, like, say, you know, I don't have it all figured out, and this, it's such a process for me, and daily I work with my own method, my own pause method, because I need it.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, what is that? How do you get yourself to do that? So, like, in the moment of, like, the frenzy, how do you, is it just, like, kind of training yourself to remember to think, to pause?
Well, it had to become part of my life. So, like, that's what I mean. I had to really change my life, because it wasn't, I went to Naropa and I studied, you know, so many different philosophies of kind of basically the pause, in a sense, you know, meditation, and I wasn't really embodying it. I liked it, but I wasn't embodying it until I admitted to myself that I have all these other parts that, you know, we're still trying to hide to some degree. And, like, there was a better. And if you think there's a better than what you are at the time, it's going to be really hard to grow. For me. And it was just accepting this as is and not as what I want to be. That was medicine. And it's still medicine. It's still what I do daily.
Thank you again for dropping into Time in the Studio. And you can look forward to the second part of this episode with Jessica Trustee Part 2 coming up in a couple days. And if you want to follow her on Instagram, she is at Jessica Joy Trustee. You can also check out her website, Trustee Owl Studios. If you want to connect with Time in the Studio, you can do so. Instagram is probably the best way, and you can do that via Instagram. Time in the Studio is the handle, and you can connect with me at Sarah Marie Studio or with Ada Zia Arts, AIDA.ZEA.Arts, or AIDAZIA.com, AIDAZEA.com. And I look forward to connecting with you again in the future. Thank you again so much, and I hope you have beautiful moments of pause and simplicity in your life in the next couple of days. Take care. Love and light to you all. May your efforts benefit all beings.